Glory to God. It's nice when the Holy Spirit confirms that I'm hearing Him. How many of you like that? I got up this morning and I was hearing a particular phrase just as I was just listening to the Lord. I recognized it, that it was a phrase used in a teaching He gave me a long time ago. So how many thank God for computers, you know? And so you can do a word search. I thank God I have all of those transcribed and I can do a word search. And I searched that phrase, and it took me to a teaching from quite a few years ago, back at the ugly building days. And so I had that teaching on my iPad when I came to the service this morning. And then I'm listening to Tim. So I was listening to Tim this morning, and I'm listening to him teach, and I'm looking at that lesson. And I'm listening to him, and I'm looking at that lesson, and I'm going, is he going to leave me anything left to say? You know? At one point in it, he says, now, it had to do with confession, and he said, now, if Daisy, he just used Daisy as an example, he said, now, if Daisy was to say that, would she be saying it to God, or would she be saying it to her own soul? She's saying it to her soul. Well, at that moment, my daughter Angie was sitting next to me, and I had my iPad right there, and I said, would you call that dictating to your soul? She said, yes, and I just showed her. And the lesson is called Dictating to Your Soul. Then in the course of it, he gave me a little illustration, and that's why the chair is here. And so we're going to this is part two from the 8:30 service. If you didn't get part one, you can get it off the internet the next couple of days. Okay, so you ready? Did you bring your Bible? How does Red say that? Wag your Bible at the devil. I'm going to make the devil mad. Show him you brought your Bible. Come on. Raise your phone, your iPad, whatever it is you brought. Okay, come on. Hallelujah. All right. Somebody goes, I got 12 Bibles in here. You know, it's there you go. Got a whole bunch of them in there. Open up to Hebrews chapter 4. Need one more chair. I'm going to put this one right here for now. Pictures. Sometimes pictures speak a lot louder than words alone. How many think these visual demonstrations help us? They sure do me. And I'm going to illustrate a verse here. The book of Hebrews today is my favorite book in the Bible. Yesterday it was the book of John. Tomorrow it might be Philemon. I love them. Whichever one he's dealing with me at the time. But right now, Hebrews is really good. And the whole thing with the book of Hebrews was trying to get these freshly born again Jewish people. I mean, they grew up under the law, you know. They grew up in a household and they said, well, how do I please God, Daddy? And well, you keep the law, son. That's how you do it. You do your best to keep the law. And when you fail, then you offer up the appropriate sacrifice. And then that cleanses you from that. And then you're in good standing with God. And so that's how they grew up. But then one day somebody comes and they preach Christ to them. And how Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to all who believe. And they preach that Christ is that lamb that all of those under the old covenant pointed to. He is the lamb offered once. So they heard the gospel, they quit putting their trust in their ability to keep the law to save them. And they put it in the finished work of Jesus Christ to save them. They genuinely got born again. But how many of you know the devil is not dead? When persecution and affliction arises for the word's sake, well, that great pressure came on them, usually through their parents and through the teachers at school and through the rabbis, and all manner of persecution came on them. And the pressure was to recant their belief in Jesus, to quit trusting in that, and to go back to the law and put their trust in that instead. So this whole letter, that is what the letter is about. And everything in it makes sense in that light. Okay? You have to be careful, just like Dave has taught us eloquently for years. Real meditation of the word. Every verse is like a stroke of the brush. You know, you can't just... This happened, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. I did a meeting up in Ohio, not at Jim Martin's church, but at another church up there. And have you ever seen this? Anyone who paints by the Spirit? I never had before, but this one lady, her gift is she paints during worship. I've never seen anything like it in my life, you know. And so we're watching this image come to pass and I didn't know what it was at first. It was just colors and swirls and everything. But over a period of time, you could tell it was a horse, the head of a horse and its neck. And it was a very wonderful, beautiful painting when she got through with it. Well, one of my jobs that week was to teach on meditation. And I remembered the lesson that Dave taught us. Every verse in a letter is like a stroke of the brush. But you can't just look at one stroke and understand what the image is. Every stroke means what it means in the light of the whole image. So I went up to that horse there. I mean, it was a great big old painting, big tall thing here. And I just went over to one little part of it. Like, I don't remember now. Maybe it was the buckle on the bridle, you know, where the bridle, you know. And I just went to like one square inch. And I said, now, if you had never seen this painting, but I cut out that one square inch and I brought it to you. And I said, here, just meditate on this. And surely you'll understand the whole image. And all, you've never seen the image. You don't know what the image is. And you're looking at it. Looks like a buckle. Could be a pair of pants. Could be this. Could be that. Could be all kinds of things, you know. But see, that little one square inch only makes sense when you leave it in the setting where the Creator gave it. That's the way the Scriptures are. They only make sense in the setting that the Creator gave it to us. Whew. That's good preaching right there. I like that myself. Anyway, so this verse also here in Hebrews chapter 4, the whole letter is about don't go back under the law. Don't give up your faith in Jesus. Understand what has happened to you. You're not that same old person. At one point, he even tells him, he says, when it comes to the law of Moses, he said, there's really nothing to go back to, because he taketh away the first that he may establish the second. He's trying to tell them, you can't go back to the law of Moses. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. So the whole letter is like that. So that brings us, now I am going to be talking about the soul. I'm not teaching history today, although it sounds like it right now. They were having a dilemma in their soul. The war was in their soul because they did not really yet understand who they were. They did not really understand what had happened to them when they got born again. Sadly, that is the same thing happening in the church at large today. It's the same thing happening today. So the verse we're going to look at is Hebrews 4:12 in that light. It says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. You know why it's worded like that? How many of you can look at your own body and see your marrow? Can't, but you know it's there, right? It's pretty important too. What about your joints? Now, I'm not talking about your outside. I'm talking about, can you see? Hopefully you can't see your physical bone joint, your elbow joint. He's talking about things that are hidden, that are not easily seen. Yet you know they are there. But how do they function? Well, he says the word of God will tell you that. So, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now let's do our Greek for just a minute. And when it starts off and it says, for the word of God, that Greek word for word, how many of you know there's two of them? Logos and Rhema. This one, I used to think, would be Rhema, but it's not. This one is Logos. For the Logos of God. Well, the Logos of God is more than the written word. The Logos of God is more than your Rhema word. The Logos of God, you want to know the true definition? In the beginning was the Word was with God and the Word was God. Every time there, it's the Greek word Logos. See, your life consists not only of what we have in the written word. Thank God for, I love the written word. Anybody that knows me knows I love the written word. And I get all kinds of instruction and counsel on a lot of things to know what to do by the written word. But I'll tell you again, and Sue knows this is true, I have studied, I have searched, I have tried to find the book of Gary. And I'm 68 years old. I would love it if I could find in here the book of Gary, chapter 68. And then I could say, oh, okay, well, here's what I'm supposed to be doing on each day. Now, see, Christ is alive and well. Jesus is alive and head of the church, and he's still speaking today. So that's why in here he says, today, if you will hear his voice. See, the real logos of God is not, it is the written word, but it's also whatever he says to you. That is your life. Now, your soul gets right smack in the way of that. We're going to illustrate that some today. I like one of my first levels of understanding, dividing asunder of soul and spirit, was Pastor Dave teaching us here. And he says, well, it's pretty easy. He says, the first level is the word. Your soul agrees with your body most of the time when you're sick, because you call everybody and tell them, I'm sick. I'm guilty too, okay. I'm sick, honey. Would you bring me a cool cloth for my fevered brow? And she will. Would you bring me a cup of that coffee? And when I'm really sick, I don't want coffee. If you ever want to know, when Gary doesn't want coffee, pray. But if it's that bad, trust me, something's wrong. But would you bring me this? And she'll just pamper me, you know. And see, we don't even think about it, but all of that, when I'm doing that, I'm operating totally out of my soul. Because my spirit doesn't get sick. And if you want to know the truth of it, it'll kick sickness right smooth out of my body if it ever finds a way to have dominion. He says, oh, if you want to know how you're operating, if you want to divide soul from spirit, when you're sick, stand up and say, achoo, it's fever, sweat, achoo, by his stripes, achoo, I was healed, achoo. Now you're starting to operate out of your spirit. Now, how do you do that? Well, you can't go by how you feel. You can't go by what you see. You go by what does his word say? Okay, that's a good example of the logos, isn't it? Let's say the written word. Now, let's go on to the complete word. Oh, he's always, wait till it's your turn. He won't be nice to you when you're up here either. He always uses me to teach you. I was in business for years. My dad had a business that was never big. It was a small contracting business. And then I learned the business through him, of course. And eventually he retired and I took it over. And I hated that business. I never liked that business. I didn't like anything about that business, okay? It was real hard work for one thing. The reports and the government things you got to fill out and all of the details and it just, you know, and then you find out people lie. Who knew? You know, you shake hands on a deal and they're going to, you know, I'm going to put you in this patio for Zama Zama dollars. And when I do that, you're going to pay me Zama Zama dollars. I shake on it. And this one guy, we got all through. I said, do you like it? Yeah. And I said, well, here's the invoice. He says, I'm not going to pay it. And I said, well, what's wrong? Do you not like something about it? He said, I like it fine. I think it's great. You did a wonderful job, but I'm not going to pay you. And I said, why? He said, because I'm a lawyer and you can't make me. If you try and make me, it'll cost you 10 times what it's worth. And I still won't pay you. I was not as mortified in those days. I couldn't really do much because he was pretty wealthy and he was pretty powerful. Now, I said this and I repented later to the Lord after I really got right with the Lord. But I told that man, I said, the day will come, I will dance on your grave with that invoice in my hand. Because he was a lot older than I was. Well, he died and I didn't. So I got saved in between. Hallelujah. But I'm saying that's just one of so many things. I did not like the job. I don't really like management. You know what my definition of management is? It's glorified babysitting. Adults that should be wearing diapers. You know, I don't like it. Now, I'm saying all that for a reason, because I have Rhema words, which is part of my logos. I have instruction from this chair eventually is going to represent the mind. Jesus is sitting in this chair. Okay. This is the mind of Christ in heaven. When we get to our demonstration here in a little bit, I have received words from him by the Holy Ghost that tells me I'm going to operate in business for his kingdom. My soul is not like that one little bit. My soul has dug in its heels probably for years. I can't get him to change his mind, though. I keep trying. Not really. I know better than to talk to him directly. I think I just do it mostly by digging in my heels. But he never changes. How many of you know there's a verse that says Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever? You just can't get him to change, you know. You can try. Well, this is, all that's going to make more sense. Yes, remember that illustration as we get into this, okay? And he may have me bring it up again. The mind of the Christ is that Gary do business besides preaching. He has, I mean, I will probably do preaching still. I don't know. But I have words. What are you going to do? This is part of the word of God. That word quick doesn't mean fast. What does it mean? You know what it means? Good church. It means alive. It is a living thing. And I don't have any power to kill it. Meditate on that for a minute. You don't either. Once he says it, it's alive. You can't kill it. You can walk around it. You can ignore it. You can do your best to avoid it. But you'll never kill it. That's pretty good right there. That's better than I thought. I'm going to chew on that one myself for a while. That's pretty good right there. All right. So let's do a little discerning here. And since he started off with that lesson, now this was at the Ugly Building days. I'm going to read this to you first, and then we're going to go through a little demonstration. It's okay if I come down here? Okay. I hardly ever move. The cameramen fall asleep on my watch, you know. They go, oh, he's, dear God, he's moving. Help me, Jesus. What am I supposed to do? He's moving. Okay. I'm just going to say this pretty much as I read it. This was at the Ugly Building days early on. I think we had been on, I don't even know if we'd been on our first ministry trip when this happened. Lots and lots of prayer. For those of you that may not know, after I left the trucks and the Lord had a requirement for me to continue praying and worshiping a certain number of hours a week, and the only way I could do that, I had this little building that we had that was pretty ugly. And there was no phone over there. There was no electricity over there. There's no distractions over there. And I could go over there and just pray. And there's hours upon hours, day after day after day. Okay. So this particular day, I wrote this down. It says, as I began the confessions. Now see, I would pray in tongues for a while. Then I would do confessions for a while. And I would worship for a while. And fast once in a great while. So anyway, as I began the confessions portion today at the Ugly Building, I could not get past the very first one, the ones I was confessing at the time. So here it is, and it's based on Luke 2:24-49. You don't need to turn there if you don't want to, but the verse says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Okay? Now, the way I made that into a present tense confession for me to confess, I was renewing my mind. I would say it like this. I am clothed with power from on high because Jesus has sent the promise of the Father upon me. You like that? Yes. Let's say that. I am clothed with power, from on high because Jesus has sent the promise of the Father upon me. You know, if you walked around and said that, just that sentence for about an hour, for a few days, something's going to register in your brain. And you're going to be going, where have I been? What have I been doing? Okay? So anyway, this particular day, though, it said it seemed as if the Holy Spirit did not... I had a lot of confessions on that page. That was just number one. But it said, it seemed as if the Holy Spirit did not want me to go further than just this one verse. So I said that confession over and over for a long time. I spent time worshiping Jesus who spoke these words because he is the way, the truth, and the life. I worshiped him because he cannot lie and these words are truth. I worship the Father for sending me Jesus with these words. And I put the Father in remembrance that his own Son spoke those words, that I was holding on to them as truth. So this time of worship went on for some time. And then I broke out spontaneously in other tongues in a dialect that is not, quote, normal for me. Okay? It was fairly loud. Now, David already taught us there was no such thing as warring tongues, okay? But still, it didn't take away. All of a sudden, I mean, you've heard me pray in tongues. You know what I sound like. Well, this was different. It wasn't normal, okay? And it was louder than normal. So it was fairly loud, and I knew somehow that the flow of these tongues were from God to me and not me to God. You know, sometimes it's you to God. When I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. But then sometimes he's talking back. Okay. So this period of speaking forcefully in other tongues continued for about 20 minutes. Everyone say 20 minutes. And at first I was just simply praying and walking the floor, which is my custom. Now this is a normal day at the Ugly Building when I'm not confessing. This is how I would do it. I just shondolo la cayando stelebre to mancuori andi stelebre comandari. Sindori andi stelebre. That's about how long it was too. Kinda labrato mandori andi stelebrato mancari. Say andi. Y'all know what I sound like, right? Sindelebre comandori andi. So I'm just walking along doing it. But then I started the confession portion. Then it wasn't that tongue. And I wasn't walking anymore. So let me read it. So I'm saying this tongue, and I don't know how else to do it, but just try. Okay? But it was more like, I'll try a Chinese one. Ing song nong hong. I don't know. I don't remember. Okay? I don't remember. I'm trying to make a point. Y'all bear with me. But it was like all of a sudden, it wasn't that. I'm used to that. It was like, ing song hong nong. Okay? And then I began so that would happen just like a sentence. And then I began doing certain things and I didn't know why. All of a sudden at one point I was walking. Now hear this. So it's like ding song hong nong. I'll just use that. Okay. And my right arm went up as if I had a sword in it. All right. I did that for a while. Then later it happened again. All right. It wasn't the same sentence. So hong nong ding song. I don't know. And that time, and I stopped walking, and I stood in one spot for several minutes, just praying in tongues. That's normal, you know. Sandare baku sandare. But now I'm not walking anymore. I'm just stopped. And I don't know why. Then there was a period of time where I was standing, but for some reason, I remember this day. Ning nong, ning nong. And then I was bowed from the waist, and I stood in that position while praying for several minutes. And I'm going, what the? Anyway. There were periods of me walking again and having my arms raised up. That wasn't real normal. And then there was another period while I was praying while standing in one spot. And my arms and my hands were in front of me and moving as if I was working on a piece of machinery and installing parts into it. Hong nong ding song. And I'm doing, for those that can't see me, I'm like at an assembly table putting a machine together or something. And I'm thinking what you're thinking. He's lost it. he's gone, man. They were right. He prayed in tongues till he got weird. You know, I've got weird now, see, you know. Well, I was thinking, what anybody, I was going, what in the world is going on? I've never in my life had something like this happen. Okay, so I said in the next, so all this time, about an hour and all, my mind was thinking, what is going on? Why is my body doing these things? I mean, I've raised my hands to worship God while praying a lot of times. But it was always my idea to do it. Why is my body doing these things now? I haven't told it to do these things. I wonder what's going on here. So then all of this stopped. The whole thing stopped as suddenly as it started. And I asked the Father to please let me interpret those tongues so that I could know what had happened. So I stayed, I don't know how long it was, but then the interpretation began to come. And I brought that with me. He said it to me like this. Okay. Okay. all right. Hang on. I can't help it when he changes. I'll just work here. Well, what he began to show me was this. I began to see this schematic that I've reasoned for these chairs. Even in those days, the interpretation sometimes would come more in vision form than it would come just in words. This one came that way. And he began to show me. See, this started off with confession. Remember, I was confessing, thank you for sending the Spirit upon me, and I've been endued with power from on high. And that was my confession. Well, he began to show me this little schematic here. And if you'll allow me, I got three chairs. I'm trying to describe this for people that can't see the video. Okay. I've got three chairs down on the lower level here. This one on the left, or be my right, it represents Gary's reborn spirit. I wish I had a sign right here. Spirit man. Okay. The middle chair is my soul. Okay. This is the soul that needs to be renewed. This chair represents my body. My physical body. Okay? Now, I've got another chair up on the platform representing, that's where Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father. And I lined him up behind my spirit. Because really, he communicates with my spirit. If he has his way, that's how he prefers. Is to, like Dave says, he can communicate with your soul. How many of you remember the hippie days? Remember Dave's story about the hippie? You know? The guy who... You know, anyway, should I do that again? How many don't know what I'm talking about? Oh, my God, a lot of you don't know. So he went back to taxi. He went back in those days, and what was that guy's name? I can't remember his name now, but anyway, it was the old burnout hippie guy, and he had to take his driver's license test. And so he's behind the little curtain in there trying to take the test, and his friends, Danny DeVito and two others, I think, they're waiting on him, you know, out there. Well, he has a little trouble with one of the questions. So he pulls the curtain back and he goes, "Hey, what does a yellow light mean?" He's wanting to put the answer on the test. And they're going, "Slow down." He thinks a minute and he goes, "What does a yellow light mean?" He slowed down. And you remember Dave, he was doing the Danny DeVito thing. Danny gets so, he goes, "It means slow down, you idiot." So he thinks for a minute and he goes, "What does a yellow light mean?" Okay. God says, Dave would tell us, that's how it is with God when we want to talk with him from our soul. He said, your spirit man is like the hard drive on your computer. It's able to process many, many, many megabytes of information very fast. Your soul, your mind is like the monitor. It can only bring up one screen at a time. We're always wanting to ask him questions and have him communicate back to our soul, but he has to go, "What?" We are spirit. God is spirit. He communicates with us, his spirit-born child. Spirit to spirit, of course. See, I'm glad that God doesn't just talk to my laptop. The laptop is more like the soul. It's supposed to be a tool of mine. My soul is supposed to be a tool of my spirit. I'm glad I don't have to go to my laptop every time to find out what God is saying. He wants to talk directly to my spirit, the real me. But we're not identifying very much yet with him. That's the purpose of this. Okay. All right. So the Word of God is alive and sharp and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is able to divide between soul and spirit. Now, you can get genuinely born again, but your soul will not be very much renewed. They can accurately teach Christ and him crucified. And you get born again in that church, and you have a spirit on the inside of you that is literally born of God. Now, let me ask you, from the get-go, is that spirit man made in the image of Christ or not? You remember Ephesians? from the very beginning. That new man, that new creature, now it doesn't mean it's fully mature yet, but he is born in the image of Christ. He is born righteous. He is born holy. Go back to Ephesians 4 if you don't believe that. Talking about that new man, put on that new man, which is created. That means from the get-go, in righteousness and true holiness. After the image, that means just like him, just like Jesus who created it. You're born in his image, in your spirit. Trouble of it is, we grew up our whole life learning to function by the soul. Before you got born again, your soul, the conscience that your mom and daddy put in you, that's how you restrain this flesh guy. This flesh guy, I can tell you exactly what he thinks. He thinks what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine. And he thinks adultery's a good thing, if you can get away with it. Just don't get caught. The bad part's getting caught. See? I mean, that's the flesh. And the only safeguard that we had was our soul, because then our spirit man was just as dead as the flesh. It agreed with the flesh. And the soul of man was the intermediary in between. And hopefully you had a good mommy and good daddy that would just spank a good conscience into you. Say, don't lie, son. Well, why not? Okay. Well, they put it in your soul. Because if you lie, I'm going to whoop you. Oh, that makes sense. The flesh can understand that. Oh, okay. See, that's really the old covenant. That's exactly the old covenant. If you do good, I'll bless you. If you do bad, there'll be a whooping. I mean, that's exactly how God had to deal with them, because they did not have a spirit born of God. But what's happened to the church, we get genuinely born again people. They'll preach Christ and him crucified. They preach it accurately and you genuinely go forward. You get a new spirit. But if you keep going to most of those churches, week after week, your soul is taught you're just an old sinner saved by grace. Or worse, there's none righteous. That's what was a favorite one where I grew up. And it's in the Bible. There is none righteous. No, not one. just scare the bejabbers out of you, you know. I mean, that would be, usually, I always remember them in black up there, and they'd point that bony finger out there. And to me, it looked like that finger came right to my nose. I mean, you know, there's none righteous. No, not one. And I'm going, I know it. So, my existence, and most of the church, my existence was in this realm between my flesh and the soul. And this brings up confession. When he started first teaching me confession, it's like, the one that says, he was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we could be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So are you the righteousness of God? So, most of my Christian life, I identified more with my flesh and my soul because of the teaching that I had in my mind. I was not yet renewed. I didn't know how to unleash the real teacher to my spirit yet. So I identified in this realm. I'm still just an old sinner saved by grace. I do love Jesus. I know I'm on my way to heaven. But I know who I am, you know. And it's in that area where it's easy to justify your failures, but you also feel condemned all the time. Because something in you knows there's more, but you don't know how to get there, see? So in the early days of confession, like Dave was teaching us, and like Holy Spirit's taught me, it's like I could, as I began to see Christ, if you can picture Christ, and I knew that my spirit was made in his image. So it's like I'm standing over in this area, in the soul flesh arena, and I would say, as he is, so am I in this world. Now, they can't see what I'm doing. I'm standing between the two chairs that represent my soul and the flesh. I'm looking over to the chair that represents my spirit. And I know from Scripture that my spirit is made in the image of Christ. So I look and I go at Christ. I go, well, as he is, so am I in this world. And to me, it's a confession. I'm trying to renew my mind, but my whole identity is here between my soul and I see myself as this guy trying to become that guy. Now, what's happened and where we are now and what he was showing me that day at the ugly building, he took my soul completely out of the equation. That day, it only happened that one day. That day, he just took my soul completely out. Because I want to teach you something, boy. He would speak to my spirit in tongues. And he would give a command, and that's why it was different. It wasn't my normal prayer language for edification. This was commands coming from the head of the church. Now, again, I don't know how else to do it. Nong chong ing chong. Okay. Whatever it was a command, but he spoke it directly to my spirit. And that day, my spirit, when I said it, now I know why I said it more forcefully. My spirit said it as a command to my flesh. Bypassed the soul completely. And the amazing thing, even though it wasn't English, my flesh understood it. And my flesh went, whoop. And I'm going, what in the world? What in the world is... Gary, why are you doing that? And I'm going, I don't know. And my soul, Gary, why are you doing that? I don't know. He was showing me dominion is by the Spirit. Dominion. My flesh knows that. My flesh can receive that instruction, not even in English, and it will obey. Dominion is from the Spirit. He was teaching me. And all of a sudden, nong chong ing chong, and my flesh goes, whoop. And my soul goes, what in the world? Why are you doing that? Now I can read this. Is that, you see the illustration, what was going on? It says, I can see the schematic of the spirit and the soul, that there are two different positions from which I may behold the glory of the Lord. From the position of the soul, this has been my primary location in the past. I would stand in one of the chambers of the soul, and I would look towards my reborn human spirit, where the seed of Christ has been planted within me. And then I would confess with my mouth things like, as you are, so am I in this world. And I would say these mirror confessions for hours at a time, in much the same manner as I originally confessed the prosperity verses 4 hours a day. I was identifying myself with the soul realm and doing my best to weary the unjust judge with overwhelming evidence by my confession of the word. But now, from the position of my reborn spirit, when I stand over here, now I am identifying with my spirit, not my soul. From this vantage point, I would be speaking to my soul also, but not by confession. From the chamber of my spirit, now I would speak with authority by command. In the spirit, I identify with the spirit of Christ, and I speak with authority to my soul. To show an example of the difference, in confession, I would say something like, Jesus, you are holy, and I am holy. But speaking from the Spirit to my soul, I would phrase it something like this. Soul, you are holy. Can you see the difference? The first is a confession. The latter is a command of authority. The spirit of man is the part of us where the life of Christ is. The spirit of man is the part of us that the Holy Spirit anoints with dominion. Do you remember what Smith Wigglesworth would say? He had learned this. He would say, when I get up in the morning, everybody wakes up, right? When I get up in the morning, I don't ask Smith how he feels. I tell Smith how he feels. This is the step we are right now. Taking dominion. Quit the waffling around. Stop listening to the devil about what a failure you are. Quit listening to him preach to you in the soul arena. Come on over into the spirit arena and believe and say what Christ has said about you. We are who he says we are. We have what he says we have. And we can do what he says we can do. That good stuff or what? It's good stuff. Did the illustration help? Help me. Let's see now. Okay. Okay. Sometimes I go on and on. Now, I have read this one to you before. You remember how Dave used to read us the dreaded yellow pad? This is the dreaded white pad. And it's good for you. I'm going to read it again, and we'll have this one available with the lesson today. Because this lesson came after that, and after I had time to digest it. And the Holy Spirit began speaking to me. This one is called Dethroning the Soul. See, because even in this, I'm telling you right now, your soul will not let go of the reins easily. Your soul, it understands, it has every inch of dominion that the Spirit takes, the soul is more on the cross. And it does not give up easy. At least mine doesn't. Now this, you could call this a face-to-face. This one happened not at the same time as those other ones. This one's not at the website in the face-to-face section, but it came the same way. This one's called Dethroning the Soul. To dethrone the soul from its place as Lord over any man is a miracle of major proportions. Since the fall of Adam and the exaltation of the soul to preeminence, I have had few who brought their soul to the place of subservience to him who speaks from heaven. Moses was such a one. In him was meekness developed to the point that I could come and speak with him face to face at the tent of meeting, as a man would speak to his friend. But know and understand that it was through discipline and hardship experienced in the flesh that his soul was brought low. I had no other way to deal with him, for his spirit could not be made alive. Meekness of soul was not his character when his soul declared that he should kill the Egyptian to save my people. His soul was Lord in that case. His soul was still his Lord when he departed from Pharaoh's court to suffer reproach with the people of God. But through 40 years of leanness of flesh on the backside of the wilderness, his soul was eventually brought low enough to hear and obey my voice. Throughout the old covenant, you will find this pattern to be so. Did you hear that sentence? Nobody was born again under the old covenant. For 40 years, I did prove the children of Israel through leanness in the wilderness until their soul was brought into the place of meekness to hear and obey my voice. This was never my desire, but I had no choice but to deal with them thus due to the deadness of their spirit. To overcome their enemies, their soul had to come to the place of meekness through leanness experienced externally in the flesh. The soul of man had to be dethroned from its place as Lord so that my voice could be heard and obeyed. What does it mean to have the soul dethroned? It means that a man willingly hands over the reins of his life from his own soul to the mind of Christ. I want to do that in picture form. To some degree, and I imagine to too much of a degree, Gary's soul is probably still Lord of his life. Okay, look, we'll go back to the early days. When he was giving us instructions that my soul thought was crazy as a... Well, really crazy. And we're praying, we're doing the message, we've gone full time. I mean, my soul wouldn't even let me obey him. I mean, here I kept telling him, I'll obey. Anyone ever... Okay, don't raise your hand. If you're one like me, oh, for years I prayed, oh, God, just tell me what you want and I'll obey you. God, just tell me what you want. I'm here to obey. Maybe those other people won't obey you, God, but I'm the one. I will obey you, God. And you pray like that and pray in tongues. And then all of a sudden one day he says, okay, leave your job. Just leave your job and live by faith. What do you think my soul said? Bet me. What? You know, I mean, I didn't use those exact words, but by my actions, that's what I did. And I didn't obey him. I didn't obey him for, was it 8 months later? I think it was. If it was a different month, if I said this on an earlier tape, that one's right. It's been a long time. But anyway, well, for months and months and months, I did not obey. 10 months, that's what it was. 10 months later, that's right. See, she knows my tapes better than me. That Helene is a good student right there, I'm telling you. Tell her, whoever said that, 10 months. And, so, my soul, can you tell it was Lord? So, since, now, here in a minute, he says that this was it's never his will to have to go through leanness of the flesh. It's not his will. He would have liked it if I just would have said, yes, Lord. But my spirit was not in charge at that point. My soul still thinks it knows what's best for Gary. You know what I think about my thoughts now? I'll just go ahead and tell you all this. I should take up an offering before I even share this. It's that good. See, at this point in my life, I have enough sense that if I feel heat from the stove, I have enough sense, do not touch the hot stove. And if I get close to it, I immediately step back. Right? Okay? Do you know I feel that same way about my own thoughts? I'm telling you the truth. I don't trust them. They'll hurt me. They'll cause me and everyone around me great damage. When I catch myself about to make a decision based on my own thoughts, my own reasonings, I recoil just like I would from that hot fire. At least I'm getting better at it. I'm not saying I do it 100%, but I'm better at it than I used to be. I don't trust this guy. I trust, when I say that, for those that can't see me, I don't trust the soul guy. I'm a soul man. I did it again. Anyway, I don't trust. Now you know why Dave told me not to sing, right? Okay. I don't trust the soul man anymore. He's stupid. He thinks like the flesh. He thinks like the world. The only part I trust is the part that's been renewed to think with the mind of Christ. And when I catch myself reasoning anymore, it's like, ooh, that's a hot fire. Whew, been burned there before. Whew, don't want to go there again. What do you say? And what do you say? I don't care if you hong chong or how you do it. Just get it to me. You know. By the way, if you pray a lot in other tongues every now and then, the dialect does change. Yeah, see, I got a lot of agreement. Why? I don't know and neither do you, but just keep doing it. Okay. I've had it go into Chinese. I've had it go into like, seem like Indian. I've had it go into all kinds of things, you know, and then it'll normally come back around to what I call normal for me, but my normal is probably not your normal, you know. I don't trust this soul man. It might be a good, don't trust the soul man. Anyway, I don't trust him. I only trust him as he thinks like Christ. See, I trust him when he thinks. Can you see the discerning between soul and spirit? Discerning between soul and spirit, it comes as you spend time with the Holy Ghost. So let me pick this up here. What does it mean to have the soul dethroned? It means that a man willingly hands over the reins of his life from his soul to the mind of Christ. In the old covenant, this was accomplished through long periods of frustration in the flesh. In the new covenant, I desire this transfer to be made through exaltation of the Spirit. Know and understand that the life of Christ within you has no self-will apart from the will of the Father. This is the nature of Him who sits on the right hand of majesty. In this covenant, I desire that the seed of that life grow up, be exalted, until that same character of nature arises to the point that it takes the reins from the soul of every man and places them into the nail-scarred hands of Christ. It is through maturity of the life of the seed within that I desire the soul to be dethroned, not through leanness and frustration in the flesh. But for those who will not yield, like Gary, after praying, oh, just tell me what you want and I'll obey you, God. Mike won't obey you. Daisy won't obey you, but I'll obey you, God. Then he says, okay, this is your last trip as a truck driver. When you get back, resign and you'll be available to go full time. Then I went, I'm not doing that. I should have. And for 10 months, he still gave me grace and he would talk to me and teach me. He didn't do like we do. Well, good enough for you. He loved on me in the trucks. I continued to pray. Full, total disobedience. He loved on me, taught me. I would feel his presence come, cry, weep. Did I obey? No. Well, you get out there long enough, and if you keep praying, I want your will, I want your will, I want your will. But yet the shepherd is going that way. And the sheep says, I ain't following there, I'm going this way. Eventually you get out on the devil's turf. And the wolf attacked my body and nearly killed me. I nearly died. And then I had a wonderful revelation. Sue came and I had an epiphany. You know, once you're, when you know you've been only a breath or two of what, you know, from leaving the planet, I had this wonderful revelation. Suddenly I just knew. I don't know how I knew it. I told Sue, I think it would be in my best interest to obey God. Now, and of course, I had never told her what God had told me because I know her. If I'd have told her what he said, she would have told me to obey him. Well, I didn't want to obey him. It scared the bejabbers out of me. I didn't know him well enough is the real problem. So then I shared with her what he had told me 10 months earlier. And of course, she agreed with me. Now, I don't know if it was there or another, but maybe again that day she said, well, hey, because I told her, I'm afraid. I don't know what will happen. And I don't know where the money's going to come from. We got a car payment. To me, that was the biggest thing on earth was this car payment. We've got all these bills to pay. I don't know what will happen. And she just told me, she says, I want you to obey God. If we wind up, I can't help it, if we wind up living under a bridge, wind up wearing gunny sacks, I am with you. I got me a wife, I want you to know. He that finds a wife finds a good thing. I've got me a wife. Boy, we did, and it was scary. And it did look like we was going to wind up under a bridge. That's, you talk about the days when money was staying away in great abundance. But he had to get, it was never his will for the devil to be able to attack me like that. You understand? It was never his will. He would rather I would just have obeyed. That's why he'd been having me pray all that time in the trucks in the first place, was to get me that place. But my soul still was lowered. By golly, I know what's best for me. Now, that's why now, today, when I catch myself thinking like that again, whew, I've been burned by that hot stove before. Those thoughts, to me, are just like that hot stove. I am not going there again. I've been burned there before. I want to know what you say. What do you say, Lord? That's what we're going to do. That's good preaching right there. So, he says, he prefers to do it through the maturing of the seed within us. Quoting again from that lesson, he says, but for those who will not yield their spirit to the nurturing of my spirit, what's he talking about? Praying in other tongues. By the way, this is one of the primary reasons why the devil has fought tongues over the centuries almost harder than he has the cross. Because he's got a lot of born-again people who are really very little threat to him. They have virtually no way of having their soul transformed to the mind of Christ. The link has been broken. They don't have access to the tongues. This is what getting to be one of my favorite sayings. Tongues is one of the most down-to-earth practical things that God ever gave man. It is not some super spiritual way out there, woo, just for a few people. He intends for tongues to be, it's a down-to-earth, practical, more practical than email, for you to get your instructions from heaven. Okay. But for those who will not yield their spirit to the nurturing of my spirit, I am left with little choice but to deal with them as with those of old. For they pray to me and say, Father, I desire to be like him. Anyone ever pray that? Yet they will not willingly yield to the Comforter I have sent to cause their new nature to flourish. To answer their prayer, I have no choice but to send them leanness and frustration of flesh to dethrone the soul. How many are tired of that? I am tired of that. It is their choice that made it so, not mine. When I have my way with my children, I prefer to deal with them first in spirit, second in soul, third in flesh. As they willingly bring their spirit to the garden of my grace, my spirit can nurture that new nature and cause it to grow into the image of him who has been implanted. the mysteries of Christ in them is brought forth first in spirit. By the way, this is the phrase I was hearing when I got up. First in spirit. First in spirit. First in spirit. I know I wrote that somewhere. That's the phrase. He says, Christ in them is brought forth first in spirit. First in spirit. First in spirit. Until the nature of him who was planted begins to take ascendancy in their character. This nature then turns to their own soul and says, bow the knee to him who bought us. He alone is Lord, and we will serve him and him alone. Yes! Once there is sufficient level of development of character so that the spirit of man can thus dictate to his soul, then the mind of Christ begins being transferred directly to the soul of meekness. Can you see the parallel with Moses? Remember what it said about Moses? Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. He didn't start off that way. Through 40 years of leanness on the backside of the wilderness, he became that way. But with him, God says, I don't even talk with him like I do the prophets. With him, I come and talk as a man does with his friend, face to face. Now, he's saying that same thing to us. As we let the spirit man take ascendancy, where that character, he says, I will come and talk to your soul face to face as my friend. You can start receiving directly from the mind of Christ. It's still by the spirit, but your soul has become transformed. Yes, sir. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and do it. The only person I've ever known, now there may be others, but the only one that I know of myself, that Dave has ever seen a tombstone. He saw a tombstone for this man. And when he first saw it, it glowed like gold. And there was writing on it like in Hebrew or something. Dave couldn't read it, but he could see the writing. But he didn't know what it was or who it represented. He said, I know it represented death, but I didn't know what it meant. And he kept praying, and finally the Lord interpreted the writing. Here lies Tim Stemple, a man dead to money. Now that's quite a feat. I've never heard of that God saying that about any other human that I know of. He may have said it, but I've never heard it spoken about anybody else, not even yours truly. But he said it about Tim Stemple. No wonder at another time, God gave Dave an equation. It says, Tim plus money equals ministry. Not new boats. Not trips to Paris, unless it's ministry. You understand what I'm saying? Tim plus money equals ministry. Isn't that something? Okay. How many think it would have been the same thing with Jesus? Tim, Jesus plus money equals ministry. See, it's that same nature brought forth in a man. Okay. Now you got to get this part. Once there is sufficient level of development of character so that the spirit of a man can thus dictate to his soul, the mind of Christ then begins being transferred directly to the soul of meekness. Now get this. To do so prematurely only results in continual disobedience, which leaves open doors through which the enemy can legally attack. That is exactly what happened to Gary. Through my disobedience, and he still protected me for 10 months. But again, if the shepherd is going that way, follow me, and the sheep says, I am not going that way, I am going this way, then eventually you're going to get out beyond staff length. Can I say it that way? You know, the shepherds have that crooked staff thingy. And eventually, if you get out beyond there, well, of course, the devil's going to attack. So a lot of times we're going, give me the answer. And he's going, well, if I gave you that and you disobeyed it, that would just leave you open for the wolf to attack. I got to wait till you're ready. Pray. I'm going to read that sentence again. To do so prematurely only results in continual disobedience, which leaves open doors through which the enemy can legally attack. I do not casually cast my sheep to the wolves by giving them instruction that I know they cannot obey. Now, what does that mean? If he gives me an instruction like he did that day, I could have obeyed him, but I chose not to. For this reason, I prefer development in the spirit first and instruction of the soul second. That means pray first. This transfer from the mind of Christ to the soul of man, that is the Lamb's room of fellowship. Talking to me, he says, you are about to have many lifelong questions answered as you spend time in this room with him. Yet you will find that during this period of soul transformation, only gradually will you be receiving instructions regarding things to be done in the flesh. For the flesh must also be dethroned from its place as Lord over your actions. Now, just so you'll know, I was smoking like a freight train. You understand that? Smoking, I was still smoking like a freight train. And that was mine. It could have been something different. Okay, but my flesh was still had a lot of rule over me. I want nicotine, okay? And the spirit man going, hey, addiction's wrong. We're going, be quiet. Light up another one. We need to stop at the Indian store on the way home. That's where they sell them cheap. Okay, we'll do that. My soul is still in agreement over here, see? The little tiny voice way over here going, you're free. My soul's going, don't feel free, you must not be free. Can you see? Can you see? Don't feel free. There's that craving. Gotta stop. Dave stomps on my cigarettes in that service. Now I gotta stop at the Quick Trip. It's my soul. See what I mean about the hot stove? How stupid is that? It's stupid to the 10th power. Get away. Okay. For the flesh must also be dethroned from its place as Lord over your actions. Okay? It did, finally. That's why Dave says, I don't care what you're facing. I mean, I'm not looking at anybody. It could be cigarettes. It could be money has you. It could be pornography has you. It could be gossip has you. It could be soap operas have you. It could be, I don't know, 1,000 things. Better is a creep that prays and a creep that doesn't pray. He will walk through hell with you, whatever strongholds you're fighting, as long as you don't start justifying it and saying it's not sin when it is, and as long as you keep doing those things that will one day spell out your freedom. I repeated it pretty good, didn't I? Good student. Plus, I've lived it. And it will happen, too. Whew. I'm going to read that sentence again. We are going to make it. For the flesh must also be dethroned from its place as Lord over your actions. The inner man must become stronger than the outer man. And it is for this reason that you are now enrolled in the Lamb's room of fellowship. You are being strengthened with might in your inner man that you may rise up united in spirit and soul and deal the death blow to the flesh. Remember, I enforce positional truth. Then he gave me this example, because already in this, I was asking questions, you know. Can you show me any of this from your word? So he said, he just went ahead and answered. He said, Paul is your pattern for now. All of the apostles who preceded him were first trained in their soul, directly from the mouth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only later were they trained in their spirit after life had been imparted to them. But it was not so with Paul. Upon his conversion, his soul was still his Lord, and he went forth of his own accord to preach the gospel according to the strength of his own intellect, that which he had always trusted in. He did not at first yield to the training of my spirit, but kept control of the reins through the decisions of his own soul to presume his course of ministry. And as those of old, frustration in the flesh and powerlessness of ministry brought him to the place where he, like Moses, was willing to be trained on the backside of the wilderness. In the deserts of Arabia, Paul learned to yield his spirit unto my spirit. And he was trained in spirit first. Y'all remember the man that says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. And if you really, it means more than all of you put together. First, he was trained in the spirit first, then in the soul. the same pattern which is now being accomplished in you. So be of good cheer. You are in the right school. Understand that this is the time when the reins of your life are being handed over from your own soul to the mind of Christ. It is a difficult transition, even in a willing heart such as yours, yet it shall be accomplished. This difficulty is part of that which was spoken by Paul when he said, "It is with much tribulation that we do enter into the kingdom of God." Exercising dominion by the Spirit. It's time to quit standing here and have this our identity still over here in the arena of soul and flesh like that. Wouldn't Dave call this the flesh creature? It's we've been doing this for years and it's still good. I mean, you know, confession is good. As you are, so am I in this world. But really, we've got to make a graduation now. Move over into the realm of the Spirit. More of a dividing between spirit and soul instead of just soul and flesh. Now we got to agree that we are who he says we are. And we got to start dictating to the soul. So you are holy. So you are righteous. So you hear God. So we don't obey money anymore. I'm not looking at anybody for anything. We don't let money tell us what we can or cannot do. We serve him and him alone. Amen. Did you get anything out of that? Well, I did too. I enjoyed that myself. Glory to God. This is free. You got an extra. We're early. I was counseling a woman this weekend. And this woman's been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost for many years. And just a wonderful person. I know her pretty well. Lives in another state. But she was praying, "I want to be more like him." Watch that prayer. He'll answer it. Okay, I want to be more like him. So the very next day they went to a service of some kind. And, you know, how you meet, it was a different church than they're used to going. She's meeting people. And all of a sudden this couple comes up. And as soon as she sees them, rage just came to the surface on the inside of her. A hatred for these people. One of them, many years ago. And she did not realize that unforgiveness and rage was still in her like that. So she calls me going, "I'm going straight to hell. I know I'm going straight to hell because if I don't forgive, he won't forgive me. I know I'm going straight to hell." And I'm going, "No, you're not. Listen, this is a stronghold you haven't dealt with yet. You prayed to be more like him. He's answering your prayer. You've carried this around this whole time. All those times in worship when you felt his presence and he was loving on you and the times he's used you in prayer and people would get healed. You had that on the inside of you. But you prayed to be more like him. So he's bringing you face to face with a stronghold." Listen, Israel, just because they were fighting strongholds in the promised land does not mean they were back in Egypt. Just because you're fighting strongholds does not mean you're not saved. You hear me? That's a good analogy, isn't it? Okay. All right. So I said, "Listen." And so, you know, she remembered that I had gone through something like that. That there were some people that I didn't want to forgive. And so I just let her in. Listen, just be willing to start. Listen to him. The way he had me do it, I couldn't do it in my own, but he just had me start. Lord, every time I'd think of him, "Lord, just bless him. Just bless him." And the first time I did that, I went, "And you know, I don't mean it." Cause I didn't, you know. But I said, over time, if you just listen to him and just obey him. And pretty soon he'll work that same. Yes, sir. And I told her this, and you need to know this, or somebody in the sound of my voice. Listen, when you forgive somebody, you're not saying what they did is okay. It was not okay. Somebody had to die. It was that not okay. What you did, you deserved death. But thank God another one stepped in. Somebody did die. And his name was Jesus. That's why you can let that person go. But you are not saying what they did is okay. And I think that's a hang up with a lot of people. If I forgive them, then I'm saying what they did is okay. No, it was not okay. They deserved death. But Jesus stepped in and took that death for them. Aren't you glad he did that for you? That's the gospel. But And I think once she really grasped that, she went, oh, okay. Because before that, it was like, well, if I forgive them, then I'm saying it was okay. No, it was not okay. Somebody has to die. Somebody did. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's just say, Father, if there's any root of unforgiveness in me, I'm asking you bring it to the surface. It's time for me to face this. If that's a stronghold in me, it's time to bring it down. You show me who it is and show me what to do, and I'll obey you one step at a time until real forgiveness happens on the inside of me. And I thank you for it now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's for somebody. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.